Let's pray. Father, we pray you'd bless your word. It's a supernatural book. We pray you'd give us supernatural wisdom, that you'd send your spirit to guide us in our thoughts in a way that would honor you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to be working out of the ESV tonight because I'm very conversant in the King James Version, but I understand that a lot of people aren't. I think Proverbs, it's straightforward enough if you understand what's being said. But if you throw kind of an archaic old English into it, maybe it's not so easily understood. So I'm going to give way to the ESV tonight. And maybe if it, I like how it turns out, we'll keep doing that for the remainder of this book anyway. Okay, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. Basically what this is saying, wisdom builds, folly destroys. Verse 2, whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord. And I've heard a lot of people talk over the years about what it means to, be God-fearing, what it means to fear the Lord. Sometimes I agree with them, sometimes I don't. I think the Bible gives us the best, most accurate understanding of what fear of the Lord means. Whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord, is to say, to fear the Lord is to walk uprightly. But he who is devious in his ways despises him. By the mouth of a fool comes the rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. When you think of all, and maybe you'll even write down fool or foolish and see what the result is. Here, by the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back. He speaks and people say, okay, this guy's a fool. And if he just shut his mouth, but no, he has to run his lips, and what proceeds forth from his lips comes back and bites him in the end. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. I like this verse because where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. Well, who cares about a clean manger if you don't have an ox? Yeah, sure, you don't have to clean up after the ox, but you're not going to get any real work done. And I think the spiritual application is more, to me. We can have a clean church, a clean Christian experience, but that's not reality. We're under construction. We're in a construction zone. And so there's bound to be some things that need tidying and some things that need straightening up. And we can't live in a museum in a spiritual walk. It just doesn't work that way. I have a clean house, and my wife is a good house. She keeps the house very clean. I like that. I come home, the house is clean. But I come home from a job site. Job site is dirty. Construction, I've been in it my whole adult life. They want us to keep it clean like as if it's in a museum, but it's not. It's a construction site and dirt happens. You tear things down and you build things, and at the end you've got a nice product. In the interim, there's a lot of cleaning up that needs to happen. So it is in the spiritual as well. But I come home to my nice clean house, but she's not like hoses me down in the front yard before I come inside. I don't live in a museum. I live in a house. We live here. And because of that, there's bound to be a mess from time to time. People are messy, physically and spiritually. And so I think sometimes we have no appetite for construction projects. I'm talking about spiritually so. At church, people are messy. Sin is messy. We can have a clean crib and no ox and nothing's getting accomplished, or we can put up with the effects of people under construction and things plowing ahead, so to speak. Verse 5, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies. How obvious that is. But God has called us to be his witnesses. Jesus has ordained you to be my witnesses. Don't lie. Don't even lie about God, even when you think it would benefit him. A false witness breathes out lies. A faithful witness does not lie. Verse 6, a scoffer seeks wisdom in vain, but knowledge is easy for a man of understanding. Verse 7, leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. Verse 8, wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. Verse 9, fools mock at the guilt offering, but the upright enjoy acceptance. I like it better in the King James. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Verse 10, the heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. Why? Because it's hard. It's internal. It's an internal matter. You're bitter in your own heart. It may or may not act out where people can perceive it. Joy is in your own heart. It may or may not find expression because it's a heart matter. Verse 11, the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. Just kind of harks back to Sermon on the Mount where we're admonished by Jesus to build a house on a solid rock, the solid rock, Jesus himself, of course. The house of the wicked will be destroyed. The tent of the upright will flourish. Think, well, I'd rather live in a house. Not if it's not on the rock. The house of the wicked is destroyed. The mansion of the wicked is destroyed. The uber mansion of the uber rich is uber destroyed. The tent of the upright will flourish. Why? Because they're upright. And God knows how to punish sin. And you can't build a structure that will keep him out or keep him from destroying. Because everything that's wrong will be made right. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Would to God people took that verse very seriously. You can talk to anybody and they're on the right road. They'll just tell you they are. Yeah, me and God, yeah. The man upstairs, yeah, we got an understanding. You know, that's how just how it is. No, it's the way to death. Before I was born again, I thought I was on the right road as well. But it ended in death because I had no understanding of what God's word said. And if we take 10 minutes to read what God tells us, we'll discover that we're not in the right way very, very often. Verse 13, even in laughter the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. That kind of harks back to verse 10. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. Verse 14, the backslider in heart will be filled with the fruits of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. Simple sowing and reaping, right? Verse 15, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. The simple believes everything. That's why CNN, MSNBC, and things like that are still like a thing, because simple believe everything. But the prudent gives thought to his steps. And of course, they'd never lie to us. Yikes. Verse 16, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. Again, jot down, fool equals reckless, careless. Okay. Verse 17, a man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. Verse 18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow down before the good, the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Now, be careful. This doesn't say exactly what it says. It's not saying the poor should be disliked, but they are disliked. Why? Because they're poor. They don't add anything. You know, they come in and they don't buy me around. They don't pay my bills. They don't help me out. They don't loan me money when I need it. They're poor, right? Yeah, I don't like this guy. He's poor. But the rich has many friends. So he pulls out his rather ample billfold and people just line up to be his friend. His so-called friends. Now, the thing about being poor, when you have friends, they're your friends. when you're rich, you have many friends. Are any of them actually your friends? Well, it's really hard to know, right? Because you're rich. So the poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Watch out, it's not saying what you think it at first blush, what it might be saying. Verse 21, whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. That's our real attitude towards those in poverty, by the way. Verse 22, do they not go astray who devise evil? Those who devise good meet steadfast love and faithfulness. Verse 23, in all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. I know a lot of people who talk, and I'm trying to get something accomplished. I always think talk and work. There are people who talk and they just want to talk and they stop me from what I'm intending to do, and it drives me crazy. Mere talk tends only to poverty. I'm not against talking, but while you're getting stuff accomplished. Okay, verse 24, the crown of the wise is their wealth, but the follies of fool brings folly. A truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. How does a truthful witness save lives? Remember, Jesus says that we're his witnesses. Not only do we save lives, we save them eternally. Verse 26, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Amen, right? In a multitude of people is the glory of a king, but without people, a prince is ruined. In America, we're trying to have zero population growth, except for illegal aliens, of course. But we're trying to have everybody breed with everybody else in ways that will not end in pregnancy. And then when sex happens in a way that does end in pregnancy, we have to hurry up and abort here in Maine right through 9 months, even regardless. But in a multitude of people is the glory of a king. That's how God set it up. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Then he got it down to 8 people after the flood. And what did he say? He said, be fruitful and multiply. What is LGBTQ plus every alphabet letter they're going to add to it in the future? Do not be fruitful. Do not multiply. God's ways are better ways, though. Verse 29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. See, this is what I meant in verse in King James, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. And you think, what a sound heart? But verse 30 in the ESV is a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh. And you say, oh, that makes sense. So that's kind of why I'm doing it in the ESV tonight. I know what King James is saying, but again, that I have to explain. I have to bring it up to contemporary English and then explain it. Verse 31, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. God says, if you give to the poor, you're loaning to me. You say, well, why is that good? Because God always pays his debts. God's got a heart for poor people. Say, why doesn't he just give them everything? Well, he kind of has. He put them on a planet that's worth a decillion dollars, I'm told. You say, that's decillion. I don't know what decillion means. Well, that's 1,000 novillions. What's a novillion? Well, that's 1,000 octillions. And it goes septillion, sixillion, heptillion, hexillion, quintillion, quadrillion, trillion, billion, million. Okay? What's a billion? A lot of money. it's 1,000 millions. You have to be a millionaire 1,000 times over. There's not a whole lot of billionaires on a planet. There's a lot of millionaires. There's not a whole lot of billionaires. You have to be a millionaire 1,000 times over. To be a trillionaire, you have to be a billionaire 1,000 times over. So you have a 1,000 millions, 10,000 millions to be a trillionaire. So God's put us on a planet that has a decillion dollars. There's plenty to go around. He wants us to share. He wants us to help. He wants us to... It's hard in America. I tell you, it's very, very hard. There's somebody at the, you know, the island there as you're driving by at the light. And you want to help, but you don't want to buy anybody's drugs or the next fix or their alcohol. Or, you know, they hobble off, you know, on their fake limp where their Lincoln is waiting, parked, and they get in that and drive to their nice house. And every day they make thousands of dollars on the generosity of strangers. You don't want to be part of that, but you do want to actually help people who are really needy. I came out of Home Depot one day, and there was a guy there, you know, panhandler. And I say, they're hiring right back there. I can't say what he told me, obviously. Did I give him anything? I didn't. But I'm a man, I want to be generous to people who are really in need. But it's hard to know because people lie who's really in need. But whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. The wicked is overthrown through his evil doing, but the righteous finds refuge in his death. Wisdom rests in the heart of a man of understanding, but it makes itself known even in the midst of fools. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This is what I was talking about earlier. I don't care how fine the house is. If it's evil, God will bring it to nothing. I don't care how your tent, it's just a tent, it's a simple dwelling, it's made of chintzy fabric, a good wind will blow it over. No, not if it's established in righteousness. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. So what about here in America? You know, last week I saw the movie Sound of Freedom. You should see it. America... God has to judge America for its wickedness at some point. I pray for this nation, but I don't want my prayers to extend to people who are using children as sex objects. You think that's harsh? I don't. I think they're going to find themselves floundering in an ocean with a millstone about their neck. That's what Scripture tells us. I don't say that without a broken heart. Right? I say this. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. A servant who deals wisely has the king's favor, but his wrath falls on one who acts shamefully. Okay, chapter 15. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. When somebody says something, they say it to you harsh, it could be a spouse, could be a boss, and because he says it in a tone that, the tone is everything. I mean, we all know that, right? Sometimes I call somebody on that. Okay, you want to bring that back a little bit? You want to walk that back? You want to rethink about how you just said that to me? Or do you want to have egg on your face when I explain why you don't shouldn't have this attitude? Sometimes I do that. Usually when I'm being led by the Spirit, I just give an honest, straightforward answer. And then there's, oh, because they had no reason to be all harsh anyway. But when I've been stupid and fleshly and answered their harshness with harshness, then watch the fur fly. Then I've become guilty when I wasn't guilty of anything before. Now I'm guilty of a bad attitude. Well, they started it. Yeah, but you don't have to continue it. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. We all have our moments when we're in a bad mood or a bad situation. I had trouble at work. I come home and I'm still stirred up because the day didn't go right for me. And just, how was your day? Oh, don't even ask. Don't start with me now. And now I brought my harshness into the house and she will say, oh, honey, I'm sorry it was a bad day, and I'll get a hug. And then I will immediately simmer right down to calm, and I'll realize I was overreacting, I was a jerk. But she says, don't come in here with your bad attitude. Oh, I've been working. And then push leads to shove, and it's a snowball rolling downhill. It can get really, but of course, she's not like that. And I'm generally not like that. I will say that she's better than me in this way, but we have to watch our tone. But when somebody does use that attitude and that tone, just simple, honest, soft answer. Or do you want to, some people just love to battle it out. Not me. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pours out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. I think that was my verse on the 15th. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So again, it's talking about our communication. A gentle tongue, life, right? Perverseness, it breaks the spirit. We can be harsh physically, we can be harsh with our attitude, and it hurts. Just, you know, it really breaks the spirit, as the scripture says. A fool despises his father's instruction, whoever heeds reproof is prudent. Whoever heeds reproof is prudent, but that's not easy to do, but it's very necessary to do. Why? Because we all need reproof. Because we all need correction. We're all very often in the wrong place, and somebody who loves us needs to speak into our lives. Verse 6, in the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. One of the reasons, I will say, when we're passing the plate at church, I'll say, if you're visiting here, we got this. Why? Their money spends is just as good as anybody, someone says. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. You say, well, how do you know if they're wicked? Well, how do I know if they're righteous? And I don't want somebody giving and then later on thinking, well, I came in here and they hit me up for some money and I gave, and see how righteous I am? No, you don't buy God's favor with a check. It doesn't work that way. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. And a lot of people give to God because they're trying to, like, buy him off. It doesn't work that way. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. The prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. You don't have to buy him off, so to speak. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues righteousness. There is severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. Whoever hates reproof will die. That's why I said earlier, you need reproof in your life. You need somebody to come along and say, hey, dude, what's the thought process here? You need someone to get up in your grill and give you, like, what for? People who love you, you need that. There is severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. Whoever hates reproof will die. Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of the children of man? A scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is crushed. King James does shine there. Merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. I like countenance rather than face. But by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feeds on folly. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Speaks for itself. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. You gotta love the Bible, just things like that. I'd rather have, you know, dandelion greens than have a fattened ox, you know, and with just, I hate everyone at the table. I hate them. I can't, then forget, keep your ox. I'd rather, you know, munch on raw celery. That's what it's saying, a dinner of herbs. Imagine that, pass the tarragon, you know. Oh, it's funny. But, of course, a fattened ox and love, that's the ultimate, right? Okay, just see if you're paying attention. Verse 18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who's slow to anger quiets contention. Some people are just like, when you're around them, it's just like, they're just like a grenade with the pin pulled. Anything you say, you're going to get blown up. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife. And you always will say, just chill, dude, just chill. But he who is slow to anger quiets contention. The way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is a joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight ahead. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. And the Bible says that a lot of different ways. It's saying the same thing. You know, especially if you're making a big radical change in your life, bother to bounce it off godly friends. Bother to do that. Have them pray with you. Have them counsel you. Have them, you know. Will I marry somebody who doesn't want to have marriage counseling? Probably not. I wouldn't say definitely not, but really depends on, you know, maybe there's a scheduling issue there. Maybe a lot of things, but they don't want counsel. People don't naturally marry well. I mean, I don't care if you marry your soulmate, your best friend, your kindred spirit. It's hard work. And if you go into it blind, then it's a school of hard knocks if you're going to keep the thing going. But I think, and a lot of times, you know, people have one meeting with a pastor and he'll talk to them about 10 or 15 minutes. Not in my thinking. It would be a 6 or 7 hour, maybe, you know, an hour meeting, 6 or 7 meetings. Depends who they are. Depends how much they're taking notes. Depends on how apt they are to learn. Depends on a lot of things. But no, I got this. I've got this all figured out. Yeah, well, have somebody else marry you then. I don't want to be part of your train wreck. 23, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. The path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but maintains the widow's boundaries. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. That verse ought to be in Washington. The heart of the, or you know, you don't have to be a Washington before you let people bribe you. And they do it in different ways. Not many people offer you $50 to look the other way or whatever, but you know, the intent is there, you know, hey, do me this solid, you know. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and goodness refreshes the bones. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. There again is that reproof idea. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. And again, think about who's giving you the reproof, because if it's your enemies, they might be saying something that's true, or they might just be hateful. It seems we just, half of it's knowing who to listen to and who to just say, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Verse 33, the fear of the Lord is instruction, wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Okay, let's do chapter 16. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Interesting. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. God can't stand pride. It was the first sin, not Adam's sin, before that. You know, the I wills of Satan. I will, you know, ascend to the sides of the north. I will sit in the, you know, and it's all it was his pride. Ridiculously so. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. Again, fear of the Lord verse. What happens if you fear the Lord? Well, here you turn away from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. One of my favorite proverbs. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. An oracle is on the lips of a king. His mouth does not sin in judgment. A just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. Proverbs has a lot to say about just balances and weights, right? It is an abomination to kings to do evil, for the throne is established by righteousness. That should be in the Oval Office of whatever administration. But definitely this one. Verse 13, righteous lips are the delight of a king, and he loves him who speaks what is right. Again, Oval Office stuff, right? A king's wrath is a messenger of death, and a wise man will appease it. In the light of a king's face there is life, and his favor is like the clouds that bring the spring rain. That shouldn't be in the Oval Office. When it says king there, think of capital K. In the light of a king's face, the king's face, there is life. His favor is like the clouds that bring the spring rain. How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. The highway of the upright turns aside from evil. Whoever guards his way preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. When I first got saved, I was accused of this by somebody who should know me better. And no, it wasn't my wife. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall, because I stopped being Catholic. So therefore, it was arrogance. That was the issue. And it really hit me hard. Like, what do you, what do you want? You want me destroyed? You want me to fall? Wait, what's going on here? I wasn't arrogant about being born again. I never have been. If you're arrogant about being born again, check. You probably don't understand what being born again means. It's nothing that would ever promote in you a spirit of arrogance. When you come to that place where you understand, I need a savior. My goose is cooked. Eternally, I'm on the outs with God. I'm going to hell because I'm a sinner. Lord, please, please, please save me. Does that sound arrogant to you? Because it doesn't sound arrogant to me. And so what happened is I cried out for salvation. What happens then? I received salvation, of course. That's what happens next. And then I got saved. And I'm not saying I was free of pride ever a day in my life. And I've never been haughty or arrogant. I'm not saying that. But I'm sure saying I was never arrogant about my being born again. Being born again, coming to the Lord's table, so when you revisit what it took for Jesus Christ to save you, that tears down pride in every single time. But having said that, pride does go before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I would say that I've had times in my life, and I think I can say that by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, I'm pursuing humility in my life. I've never claimed to be a humble person. I have seen arrogance, and I've seen its outcome. And by the way, arrogance doesn't look good on anybody, so I try really hard not to have that. I try to humble myself. Why? Because if I don't, God will. I know that to be the case. Look at verse 19. It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. Yeah. So just food for thought there. Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. The wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Because people can be abrasive, and in abrasion, people automatically disagree with you. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness. I can't talk tonight. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. What kind of words? Gracious words. Why would you have any other kind? There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. We've kind of been there, right? A worker's appetite works for him. His mouth urges him on. A worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Ugh, gossip is just the worst, right? A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. Whoever winks, his eyes plan dishonest things. He who purses his lips brings evil to pass. One of my favorite verses, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. How is it gained in a righteous life? Ungodly people get gray also? Not as often. Remember, longevity is one of God's promises to those who live a righteous life. Gray hair is a crown of glory. King James says the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. But if is in italics. It should say it be found in the way of righteousness. Or I think ESV has a better. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Verse 32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules the spirit than he who takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. So when they're trying to find a replacement for Judas, they cast lots, knowing this verse, that God would decide the outcome. I'm not saying that's a New Testament way to do things. You know, when you want God's opinion on something, just throw dice. Okay, we'll do 17 and then we'll quit here for the night. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. That's like a meal of herbs again, right? Yeah, pass the tarragon. Verse 2, a servant who deals wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully and will share the inheritance as one of the brothers. A servant who deals wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully, right? That's the principal words there. The crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. We wonder why, you know, bad things happen to good people. The crucible is for silver. The furnace is for gold. The Lord tests hearts. Always. An evil doer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. This don't give them the time of day. Whoever mocks the poor insults his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. Okay, grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their father's. I tell people who are, you know, expecting their first grandchild, I says, this is going to change everything. This changes everything. Everything after this has changed. And they just look at me like, oh, okay, whatever, until they have their grandchild. And then they say, oh, I understand what you were saying. It's just a game changer. It's grandchildren are the crown of the aged. I don't want to get older. I'm like everybody else. I wish I was 18 and I knew, well, 20, 21, and I knew what I know now. I wouldn't go back to that being that old if I didn't know any, when I was 21, I was pretty empty-headed. I know a lot more now, and I like what I know. It took a long time to get here, a lot of trials along the way. But I want to be young again like everybody else. I want my body at least to be young, right? But no, you don't have grandchildren when you're 21. You know what I mean? It's God, a blessing from God. Okay, verse 7. Fine speech is not becoming to a fool, still less is false speech to a prince. Again, that should be in the Oval Office. Verse 8. A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Give you something to think about. Verse 10, a rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. An evil man seeks only rebellion, and a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his follies. What a word picture. If anyone returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out. If anyone returns evil for good, who does that? A lot of us, a lot of the times, right? Or we at least return evil for evil, but we're supposed to overcome evil with good. The beginning of strife is like letting out water. So quit before the quarrel breaks out. Again, that just says volumes. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Again, you know, you read these and you think about the Supremes. You think about both houses of Congress. You think about our own state capital. You think about the Oval Office. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Who's the bad guy? Well, Christians. Intolerant, homophobes, haters. They're the worst. And God's saying, okay. And I'm sure his wrath is boiling over. He who justifies the wicked. You know, if a person's a pedophile, they have young child lust disorder. They got a terminology for it, why their perversion is a okay thing. It's not. And God, the equal abominations. Why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he has no sense? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Doesn't need any comment. It's a lovely verse. One who lacks sense gives a pledge and puts up security in the presence of his neighbor. Whoever loves Whoever loves transgression loves strife. He who makes his door high seeks destruction. A man of crooked heart does not discover good. One with an dishonest tongue falls into calamity. He who sires a fool gets himself sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Again, King James there, merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I ate a fortune cookie once, and it said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It didn't have the back part to it, and I thought, like, wow, slow day at the fortune cookie factory. They're looking up King James verses to put in the cookies. It said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, which, by the way, doesn't tell you anything about your future. I don't know why they call them fortune cookies anyway. A joyful heart is good medicine. A crushed spirit does dry up the bones. The wicked accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the ways of justice. The discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. To impose a fine on righteous man is not good, nor to strike the noble for their uprightness. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Another way to say that, and I've seen it like on a bumper sticker, is, you know, better be silent and thought of a fool than to